At the book of John, chapter 16, John 16, we're going to look this morning in Sunday school, the Sunday morning service and the Sunday evening service. We're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord has really laid this on my heart, and I'm very encouraged that many people are not aware of who the Holy Spirit really is and what He does and all the power He possesses. And we're talking about revival this week, and that's what our ministry focuses on, is revival. And if we do not have the Holy Spirit's presence in our life and His power in our life, we will not experience what Jesus Christ died on the cross for. And I believe everybody here this morning, you're here for a reason, because you love the Lord. We need to know everything we can about the Spirit of God, and we need to apply it in our personal life. Now, in chapter 16, in verse 7, I want to read one verse today. And if you would you stand with me in respect to the Word of God? We'll read this, and then we'll pray. And then we'll get started this morning. In verse number 7, the Bible says this: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Father, again today we thank you for this church and what it represents, and for these fine Christian folks. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts. I pray that we would put aside the cares of the world and the problems of the day, and that we would concentrate on the topic of the Holy Spirit. And Father, today, if we are not walking in the Spirit, and we are not filled with the Spirit, and we are not acquainted with the Spirit as we should be, I pray today would be the beginning of that and of a great long relationship. And Father, if there be a lost person today in our midst, I pray that you'd save them. And for the Christian that is struggling, maybe just plain old backslidden today, that you would get a hold of their hearts. They would get back in the center of your perfect will. Now bless this time, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it's truly impossible to understand the work of the Holy Spirit without first understanding Him as a person. Just as you are a person and just as I am a person, the Holy Spirit is exactly the same. And I think unconsciously we often will look at the Father and say, well, the Father is a person. And we'll look at the Son and we'll say, well, the Lord Jesus is a person. But we come to the Holy Spirit of God and we almost exclude Him from that relationship of being a person. He is a person. And I think there's absolutely no way that a man, woman, boy, or girl can fully be used to their very best without knowing and understanding the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to give you the definition this morning of a person. And you might have your own, but I'd like to give you one this morning that you can use. A person is any being that has knowledge, has feeling, or has will. I can already see right now some of you have got things going on outside of this building. I hope you'll concentrate. This could be a turning point in your individual life, in your family, and it might be a turning point in this church because of what you do with your life. And I hope you'll think about what we're saying this morning. Every time we open the Bible, this is not just a book. Every time we open this book, this is the living Word of God that is proceeding forth. And whether we hear it or whether we be reading it, we ought to be aware of whose word it is. And we ought to respect that word and put everything else aside. Now, I think of how the Lord Jesus put great emphasis on the Holy Spirit's coming. And you and I as Christians ought to do the same. We ought to put just as much emphasis as He did, and maybe more, because He is the one that lives in us and conducts and shows us the direction in life. Now, in verse number 7, we saw that Jesus made the statement, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." That word expedient means profitable. It's profitable. Jesus said, "It's profitable that I go away, that the Holy Spirit may come." Now, why was it so important for the Spirit to come? What was so important about that? Let me give you several things I believe you'll find in Scriptures to be true. Number one, by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, He paid the price for sin in full. Is that true? Yes, He did. This is yes, this is no, this is what we want this morning. Amen? And He paid it in full. Everything was taken care of. The debt was paid. Now, at Christ's departure, men would be led and influenced by the Holy Spirit. And I think this, it was going to be much easier for men to see the overall picture and the scheme of things in our Lord's absence. He wasn't there. How often When somebody or something is right before our very eyes, we don't see it to its fullest. The old saying, there's a saying we use and everybody has used it. We can't see the what? Forest for the trees. And I think that as Christ departed and the Holy Spirit came on the scene, that men might more clearly understand why Christ came first off and why he died and why he arose from the grave. Many were there, many saw all the events, but in their minds they could not understand it completely. And that's why he had to go. That they might fully understand it, they might see it more clearly. Yes, this was the Messiah. And yes, he came and he died for our sins. And he sacrificed himself and did something that we could not do for ourselves. And then he also rose from the grave and was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And his absence made it much easier for men to see. But then secondly, while Christ was on earth, he could only be in how many places at a time? One. When he departed, whereas the Holy Spirit came on the scene, he could be in all places dealing with the souls of men in many locations at once. That was all very important. And I think that we need to realize that we cannot minimize the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to give him his right position, and that is as God. And so often it is not the case. And then the third thing I see is this, that each person of the Trinity had their definite part in God's plan of salvation. The Father's part was he looked down and saw the need of man, the wickedness of man, the sin of man, and man was doomed to a lake of fire. God did his part in sending his Son. Now, Jesus came to earth, and Jesus paid the price on Calvary. He was our substitute. He did his part. Now, what was the part of the Holy Spirit? It was the Spirit's part to take the atonement that Christ had made and bring it forth to mankind that it might be used. He could not accomplish that task until the Lord Jesus was taken out and taken to heaven. And I think also this is something to consider as well. To the apostles, Christ's departure was very what? Grievous and sad. They didn't understand why he had to go, but if they could have seen at that time, the full reason, their outlook would have been much different. He did not just leave them, but he left that much more might be done after his departing. And I think how often God will do this. God will take something from us that is a blessing that he might bestow upon us an even greater blessing. And the Holy Spirit is the greatest blessing that you and I as Christians can have in this life. Because he never leaves, he never departs, he's always there with us. Now, I want to look at some of the personality traits and characteristics that the Holy Spirit has. And I want you to use your Bibles this morning, and I want you to look as we read these and go through them and look for yourself and maybe take note of the different characteristics and personality traits that the Spirit of God has. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, if you would. I want you to see that he has a personality trait or characteristic in the fact that he has knowledge. A person can have knowledge. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he does have knowledge. Now, in verse number 11, the Bible says this, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but what does it say? But the Spirit of God." The Spirit of God has knowledge. We need to realize that he is not some cloud floating overhead mystically, but he is a person with knowledge. And we need to rely on the knowledge that he has, because that's what's going to give us the ability to serve God in this life. Now, look if you would also at John chapter 16, and look at verse number 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. How many of you hear what I'm saying this morning? The Holy Spirit has the same ability. He has the ability to hear. It's the same as any person sitting here now. In verse number 13 of chapter 16, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall what? Hear." Hey, that's good. I like that response. Don't sit there like you're half dead. Amen? We're not out in the world. We can have fun here this morning. You can talk and enjoy this. But it says, "He shall hear, and that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So the Spirit of God has knowledge, and he conveys that knowledge to us. He also hears, and what he hears, he repeats to you and I that we might know the truth and how to live. And then also look at Romans 8 and verse 27. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 27. We see that he also has a mind, and he thinks. It says in verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind. He has a mind where the knowledge dwells, and where all that he hears goes in and is processed. It comes out and it's given to us. It says that what is in his mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he has a mind. But then look also, if you would, at Galatians 5. Now, I want you to notice in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, I'm not going to dwell right there for now, but you and I need to realize that the fruit of the Spirit is something that each one of us that are saved should possess. It's not a multiple fruit, it's a singular fruit with many characteristics. That yet today many Christians don't possess this. This is part of our life and being Spirit-filled. But I want you to notice it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, what is the very first thing it says? Is love. Now, if we are going to possess the fruit of the Spirit, who possesses it before we do? He does. And so the Spirit has the ability to love. And what he will do, he will also instill that same basic love in us, that we can love the Lord, and not only the Lord, but those around us that are unlovely. Look, if you would, also at Romans 15 and verse 30. I want you to notice here about this love. We need to love the world. You know why people don't get saved? It's not because they don't want to get saved. In many cases, people don't get saved because Christians don't love the lost enough to go after them. If you saw somebody drowning in Lake Erie, would you stand on the shore and say, well, I sure hope they can get out? In most cases, we would do everything in our power to try to rescue them from drowning. And I believe it's the love of the Spirit that he conveys to us and implants in our heart that will give us that desire to go out and to reach the lost. By the way, it's not just on visitation day. It's not just on special day. I remember Bob Gray in Longview, Texas, one time made a statement. He said, we go out on visitation. He said, we drive by hundreds and even thousands of lost people to go to a place that we've got a cart that somebody might not even be home. And we don't even stop along the way to tell those that are lost and dying about Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 15 and verse 30. It says this, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Not only does he have the attribute of love himself, but not he loves us, but he will also allow and produce that love in and through us that we will love other people. And I think that's a key. I remember years ago where I went to college, there wasn't much said about love. And I'm not getting mushy on this, not much said about loving one another and loving your brethren. But after I graduated, I was down in Atlanta preaching in a church, and there was a great old preacher that made a statement to me. He said this. He said, you know what the world needs today more than anything else? I said, what's that? He said, they need love. They need to see the love of Christ in and through us, working through us. And you know what my response was in my mind that day? You're a big wimp. You're a sissy. Oh, you're one of those love type guys. But that has haunted me over the years. And one of the things that this world needs more than anything else is love. The love of Christ to be shown through our life. And by the way, it's the Spirit of God that gives us that ability. Now, look also, if you would, at Ephesians 4, and look at verse number 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. How many of you have ever been hurt? Ever been hurt? I mean, something takes place in your family. You know, the husband is grieved because the wife took the credit card and overloaded it. Amen? And the wife is grieved because the husband went out and bought something that she didn't want him to have. Then you look at your kids because they don't behave in your grief. Just as we grieve, the Spirit of God grieves. And when we grieve, you know, we don't function right. We can't be at our best. And the Holy Spirit, when he is grieved, cannot work through us at his very best. Look what it says in verse 30 of Ephesians 4. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you realize that every time we have an unclean thought or an unchristlike thought, we grieve the Spirit of God? Every time we have a word that proceeds out of our mouth that is not a Christ-honoring word, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God? Every time we go somewhere or we do something that is not in a manner that Christ would do, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit of God is grieved, we cannot function in the power of the Spirit of God as we should. And I think this is taken so lightly. People say, well, Brother Bill's going charismatic. No, I'm just going Bible, that's all. Got nothing to do with the charismatics. And I think we are intimidated by the charismatics. And as a result, we don't want to touch anything that has to do with the Holy Spirit. And we better get a grip on that. And we better realize that the Holy Spirit is the one that generates in the Christian that sense and that feeling of revival that will spread throughout a community, that will change the face of the entire earth. It's the Spirit of God. Now, look if you would also at John 16 and look at verse 13. We see in verse 13 that he also speaks. And I don't know about you, he speaks probably louder to me than anybody else does. I don't struggle to hear the Spirit of God when he speaks. He's very articulate. He is very clear. He comes across very loud. And if you're saved here today and you're doing something wrong, you'll hear the Spirit of God speak. He'll say, no, don't do that. Or if we've got something in our mind and we're thinking something is about to come to our mind, he'll say, no, don't think that. And he doesn't hinder his voice from being heard. Or if we're going to say something or think something or do something, he's always there. And he will speak loud and clear. And we won't miss it unless we want to miss it. But look there at verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not, what? Speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He speaks. He's the one that speaks and guides and directs us in everything we should do in life. Then look, if you would, at John chapter 16 in the next verse, verse 14. I want you to see also he glorifies and praises God. It says, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Just like you and I, when this morning the singing was excellent, by the way. I want to say that, Brother Seth. I don't know if it was your leading of the singing that they're following, but the singing was great. And you know what that does? That glorifies God. When we lift our voices, it praises the Lord. And by the way, he deserves our praise and our glorification all the time to glory him and lift him up. The Spirit does it as well. And by the way, when we have the Spirit's filling in our life, we will rejoice and praise God. We won't have to try. It will just pour out. You ever, we won't go there right now. Look also, if you would, at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8 and 9. The Holy Spirit is also like a person in the fact that he has great responsibility. Great responsibility. And by the way, he is the one that delegates responsibility to you and I. You say, well, I thought the preacher did that. Well, the preacher may delegate some things, but what our life is going to be delegated by the Spirit of God. And where we're going to go and what we're going to do is delegated by the Spirit of God for the child of God if we are listening. Look what it says in verse number 8 of chapter 12. It says, for to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the what? Same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gift. Do you realize it's the Holy Spirit of God that distributes and delegates the responsibility that you and I have in life? It wasn't Pastor Dwayne Davis that called me to preach in 1976. It wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit of God. God speaking through the Spirit touched my heart and said, I want you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't man, it was God. It was through the Holy Spirit's voice speaking, and he delegated that responsibility. And then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again, and look at verse 11. You know, all of us here today, the difference between you and I and animals is this, is we have a will, amen? Nobody can force us to do anything. Nobody can. We have a will to either do or not do. And just as we have a will, the Spirit of God has a will. Look what it says in verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he what? He wills. He wills one to go to the mission field in Africa. He wills another to go to Brazil or the Philippines. He wills one to stay in the States and be a pastor. Wills another to be assistant pastor, one to be an evangelist. It's the will of the Spirit. He has a will. And I think so often we miss this. And I wouldn't ask this morning, how many of you have realized all about the Holy Spirit we've just seen in that portion? Probably there are some this morning have heard and there are some that have not. But we need to acknowledge this. During the week, starting on Monday, I'm going to present the messages that I bring in the form of a question. And the questions are going to be very relevant as to the Holy Spirit's working in our life. Because He is the one that does everything, and we need to realize that without His presence, without His power, we are nothing. Now, I want to give you a few other things this morning in this hour, and then we'll continue on in the morning service. But I want to give you some of the proof of personality also in the fact of the positions that He holds. Only a person can hold the positions that we will see. Look here at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. There are many actions that are ascribed to the Holy Spirit that only a person can hold or perform. The first one I want you to see is this. The Holy Spirit searches the things of God and reveals them to us. He is our revealer. He's the one that reveals to you and I the things that we need to know, the things that are important, the things that will lead us through our Christian life, the things that will help us to uplift the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, what does it say? He said, if I be lifted up, I will what? Draw all men unto myself. That's what it's all about. It's doing it for His glory and not just ours. And the Holy Spirit's the one that gets it done. Look, if you would, there at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 10. It said, but God revealed them unto us by His what? Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I wrote this under that verse. I said, if allowed, the Holy Spirit will show us in such great depth the love of God that we will not be able to constrain ourselves from serving Him. And you know, some of you here today, you may make Sunday school once in a while. You may hit church Sunday morning once in a while. You may be sporadic Sunday evening. You may not come Wednesday. You don't plan on coming this week. Let me say this. You better reconsider. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that reveals the things of God. And if we will listen to the Spirit of God and allow Him to work in our hearts and our minds, He will show us the depth of the love of God that we'll not be able not to serve Him. I want to serve God today more after 35 years than ever before in my whole life. And I believe it's because even as a preacher and preaching for 30 years, I'm beginning to understand more clearly what the Bible says. And I want it. I don't want to go without it. I want it in my life. And I want to have the greatest results for the glory of God. Not for me, but for God. See, He is our revealer. He reveals the things of God to us. Then look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 through verse 28. I want you to see also the position of the Holy Spirit is that He prays and makes requests for us. He's our prayer warrior. He's the one that takes our prayers and brings them to the Son, which in turn gives them to the Father. Look what it says there in verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'll never forget, Ed Ballou was one of the original founders of Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Brother Ballou is now up in age, but I heard the story told about his wife. Came down very suddenly ill. They did not know what was wrong. They rushed her to the hospital. The doctors looked at Mrs. Ballou and they said, we don't know what's wrong with your wife, but we do know this. She is dying right before our very eyes. They said Brother Ballou didn't even know what to say. He couldn't even speak. He left that room and he walked out, went down the hall in the hospital. And it was said that he stepped up to the elevator, pushed the button, never said a word. The doors opened. Out walked his children. He didn't even acknowledge his children. He got on the elevator.
as the elevator went down to the parking garage, he got in his car. He said, I could not even speak. I was so troubled with what was going on with my wife. He said, I got in my car, and he said, I began to drive. He said, I don't even know where I went. He said, I ended up out on a gravel road in the country. And he said, the car basically was taking itself. And my foot was off the gas. And he said, finally, the car just kind of eased down and hit the shoulder of the road, and it stopped. And he said, I got out of the car. He said, I couldn't speak. He said, I was so troubled with my wife, and I didn't even have the words to pray. And he said, I got out, and I began to stumble across the road and into the field. And he said, I fell, and I would get up, and I couldn't even stand. And he said, I fell. And he said, my clothes were ripped, and he said, I laid in the weeds on my face, and all I could do was groan. He said, oh. And it was as if the Holy Spirit took that groan, and he went to the Son, and he said, it's my bad sin. And he said, all I could do was groan. And it was like in heaven, it was sad, and she died, Lord. Something's got to be done. His wife was dying. He said, I don't know how long I laid in that field, but he said, I groaned. And he said, my groans were conveyed by the Holy Spirit of God to the throne of heaven. And he said, all of a sudden, as I lay in that field, he said, there was a peace and a calm came over me. He said, I got up, got in my car, drove to the hospital. And when I walked in that room, my children met me and they said, Daddy, the doctors don't understand it. They don't know why, but Mama's going to be all right. She's turned the corner. They said, whatever it was, now gone, and she's going to live. Do you ever stop to think that you and I have a prayer warrior in the Holy Spirit of God, that when we don't have the words to say and our heart is so heavy and our heart is so troubled that we just don't know what to do, that he's there to convey the message to the Son, who in turn conveys it to the Father? But then also look at John chapter 14 and look at verse number 26. The Holy Spirit is also our teacher. We all need teachers. We need teachers that are dedicated and loyal, that will give us what we need no matter if we want it or not, and that's the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall what? How can you be taught the things of God if you don't have a walk with the teacher? How can we be taught the things of God pertaining to this life and pertaining to the ministry and pertaining to the glorifying of God if we don't walk with the teacher? And I think today too many have been blindsided by the devil to say, well, you don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit, then they'll think you're a nut. But he's indispensable in our lives. It says, he shall teach you, look at this, what's the next two words? All things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16 and verse 12 through 14 also says this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He's our teacher. But then the last thing I want you to see in this hour, look at John chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17. The Holy Spirit also holds an office that only a person can hold, and that is that he's our counselor. He's our counselor. He's our intercessor. In verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I'm glad this morning that the Holy Spirit of God, the day I got saved, came and took up residence in this whole body, and he has never left. He's always there to intercede on my behalf. He's always there to comfort. He's always there to counsel, if we will but turn to him. In verse 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's an indicting statement right there. It says, the world cannot receive because it what? Seeth him not. I've often said this, and I'll probably say it through the week. I believe even in our independent Baptist churches, folks that sit in the pews, they may know who Jesus is. They may have made a profession, but they have no possession. And as a result, they do not see the Holy Spirit as a person. They do not see him as God. They do not see him for who he is. And as a result, their lives are always in turmoil. There is struggle because they don't know him. Because they can't know him. Because they're not saved. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, just as much as the Father and just as much as the Son. He is not a mystical character that is floating somewhere in the atmosphere or in our imaginations. He is God. And as a result of him being God, he is due our worship. When's the last time in your prayers you said, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for what you've done. And Holy Spirit, I love you. Thank you for being ever present in my life. How often is he eliminated from that prayer? And I think also because he is God, he is due our love. He is due our faith. He is due our confidence. He is due our surrender. He is due our obedience. I wonder this morning, do you know the Holy Spirit we've seen in the Bible? Are you walking with the Spirit of God that we've seen this morning in the Scripture? Are you yielded to the Spirit of God that we've talked about? Are you working with him hand in hand to achieve the greatest for the glory of God? If not this week, it can be different. It can be changed because that's God's desire. I still believe that there's opportunity for America to see revival. I read a book not long ago by Watchman Nee, part of it. Watchman Nee's tough to read. But in that book, Watchman Nee talks about prayer. He made a statement, and when I first read it, I thought, Watchman Nee, you've lost your mind. He said that God is unlimited in what he wants to do in heaven. How many agree with that? But he's limited in what he can do on earth. I thought about that for a minute, and what in the world? How can Almighty God, the omnipotent God, how can he be limited on earth if he's unlimited in heaven? On earth, he is limited by one thing. You know what it is? Us. If we are not yielded, we are not submitted, and we are not surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God, God is limited in what he can do. Can you imagine this morning if every person sitting in here right now yielded and surrendered to the Spirit of God, what God can do in New York and in New York as a state? It would be unbelievable. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time, for the Sunday school hour, and thank you for the opportunity to open the Word of God. And I pray that you would take what we've seen this morning from the Scriptures, and I pray that you would indelibly mark it upon our hearts and our minds that we would not forget that the Spirit of God is God. And that he is a person and he has positions only that a person could have. I pray this morning that you'd bless the service to follow, save the lost. I pray that you would challenge our minds, Lord, to think. And help us not to be satisfied with mediocrity, but help us to have a desire to do much greater and bigger things for your glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.